Good afternoon. It is 1 o'clock and you are listening to KSTK Wrangell. It is time for Talk on the Rock. I'm Cindy Sweat sitting in for June Loeffler, who is on vacation this week. Joining us today is our friend Alice Rooney, and Alice is going to speak about hospice. Good afternoon, Alice.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about hospice. So let's start with when did hospice get started in Wrangell, and how did that come about?
Well, hospice has been in Wrangell since about the year 2000. That was the year that public broadcasting PBS stations had nationwide a series by Bill Moyers called On Our Own Terms. And in conjunction with this TV series, they had money to support the formation of hospice groups in all across the country. And so some of us met at that point. And in 2002, then we finally were incorporated and started a formal nonprofit corporation.
And that nonprofit started as
Hospice of Wrangell.
Of Wrangell. Mm-hmm. Okay. And now you folks have come up with a more fun name, I would
right,
say.
Right, right. We've started calling it, we still are legally Hospice of Wrangell, but we've started calling ourselves Harriet's Helpers. Harriet's Helpers in homage to Harriet Shermer, the late Harriet Shermer, who was a doctor in Wrangell, who was very involved in our hospice group for a number of years.
She was very involved in keeping people healthy in Wrangell, and then after she retired as a doctor, continued.
She continued to do a lot of visiting and a lot of work. She was very much involved with our community loan closet also, which we started and took over in 2007.
Well, while we're on it, let's talk a little bit about the loan closet. What is that through
the
hospice?
Loan closet? Well, in Wrangell, we have no place where you can go and buy a wheelchair or a walker or things like that. Very, very, very small amount of durable medical equipment available. And oftentimes people use a piece of equipment for a short period of time and then they don't need it anymore. So we, years ago, started collecting those items and storing them for short-term use by anybody who needs them. So right now we have in our community loan closet, we have wheelchairs and walkers and bath benches and shower chairs and canes and crutches and a few other items like a Hoyer lift. We have some specialized other equipment. We have the kind of knee scooter that you can use and scoot around if you have a foot injury. All this stuff is carefully maintained and people can contact the Wrangell Medical Center front desk and ask for a hospice volunteer, and somebody will get back and help you get whatever it is you need.
Okay, well, that's a great service. I know I've called the loan closet to get items for people in my family who needed, for example, a wheelchair for a little while, and it was a great service, and just returned it when I was done, and that was great. Didn't have to buy or rent, and it was right here in town.
Right here in town. I know the 4th of July is always the busy time people like to check out wheelchairs or wheeled walkers, for example, to use with a relative who might want to come downtown and not be able to walk around all day.
Right. So we will keep those in mind while we're speaking about hospice today. So tell me, how does hospice work in Wrangell? Can people have in-home care hospice, or does somebody need to be in the hospital as an inpatient to receive hospice? How does that work?
Okay. First off, I need to explain one thing is that oftentimes when people from down south think of hospice, they think of a medical hospice. They think of a regular hospice program which provides nursing care, which provides medical care support. AIDS provides a range of services designed to support somebody at end of life. But there are also a number of communities like Wrangell that have a volunteer hospice, and that is what we have. And there really is no national organization of hospice. Everyone is just groups that are adhering to the hospice philosophy. So our program here in Wrangell is just strictly a volunteers. We're a bunch of volunteers, Harriet's Helpers, and we just want to be of help to people at end of life in whatever way we can, either in the home or in the hospital or wherever.
Wherever they may, that mm-hmm. person may be. Mm-hmm. So as you were saying before we went on the air, you said it's your party. You can invite them wherever you want to be.
Right.
So
right.
That makes sense.
It's always with the consent of the patient and the close family members that may be involved.
So you mentioned the hospice philosophy. Do you want to speak to that? What is the philosophy?
All right. Hospice care is the philosophy of caring that assists people who are nearing the end of life, and it's a system of caring designed to restore dignity and a sense of personal fulfillment. In other words, all too often people feel like they are controlled by the medical establishment, that death is a medical emergency. You have to do whatever you can to keep life going for whatever, however long, and oftentimes that involves a lot of medical intervention that may be painful and distressing, may prolong life, but may not really give quality of life at the end of life. And many people would think of an ideal dying being a death at home surrounded by loved ones, and instead they're in an intensive care unit with tubes and machines, and it can be very upsetting to everybody. So there are times when the tubes and machines are very essential, but there are other times when dying and feeling that you have control over how you pass, how the end of your life goes.
Is that the dying with dignity phrase?
That's the dying with dignity, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that you get to determine.
That, if you want to have, you know, whatever the patient wants to have. If they just want pain control, there's very much an emphasis on, in medical hospice, there's a very strong emphasis on pain control and comfort. If someone wants to trade being alert so that they can visit with loved ones who are visiting and trade that off for some pain control, they can do that. If they rather just have the pain control and be kind of dozy and sleepy, and they can have that. If they want to have nothing to eat, if they want to have this pain, if they want to have this medication or not this medication, they have the choices that they have. They're in control.
So that makes me think of, you know, if I were in that situation, I might not be able to articulate my needs at that time. So not to get too far off topic, but how would a person go about making sure that you have a list of, you know, what's the official way of making your wishes and your desires known?
There is a procedure, and I believe Mary Campbell has talked about that even on this program a couple of weeks ago, for advanced medical directives, where you have signed a document and had it notarized and witnessed properly, where you designate your surrogate decision maker. And that person would, in a medical setting, have authority to speak to your medical providers, to sign release of information, things like that. But also having people that know what you want, what you would want.
So there you have control of your life and control of the end of your life, which brings it all the way to the end. So that's a very important thing to think about, although a lot of us don't think about it every day. It is good to keep that in mind. So this has been going on for a while in Wrangell. How many active volunteers help with hospice in Wrangell?
Yeah, we have a board of directors of six of us, but in terms of active volunteers, in terms of people who have had training and experience and are able to address needs that might come up, we have six of us currently that are available.
Okay.
The number has kind of gone up and down over the years, but right now we have six.
And, you know, if someone in the community wants to be part of this and wants to volunteer, one would be, how would they go about doing that? And then, but maybe more importantly, what special traits would a hospice volunteer or a hospice worker need to have?
I think a sense of compassion and some common sense, of course. We'll provide some good training in terms of boundaries, which is really important in terms of, you know, what you can do when you step into a situation at end of life or with somebody who's very medically fragile, and, you know, it's their life, it's their choices, and knowing where you can be helpful and where you can step back and let them make their choices and not getting too caught up in that. So boundaries are a critical issue of our training.
And if that's something that somebody in the audience is interested in, how would they go about becoming a volunteer?
They could certainly contact me. My name is Alice Rooney, and you can contact me, just leave a message at the front desk of the hospital or track me down in the community. I think Mary Campbell is another person who can kind of steer people towards me. Mary is the hospital social worker. And another board member, there are several other board members, would be Marlene Merritt is on our board. Linnea Brooks is on our board. Don McConaughey. And so I hope I haven't left anyone out. Elaine Torbend, yes.
Okay. So it seems that this could be a very emotional volunteer position to be in. How do you deal with that end of it?
Well, I'm a trained social worker, and so over the years, just as part of my training and experience, have developed a skill of sort of knowing when to detach myself and when to be involved more. And I know that we do have a policy that if someone has suffered a significant loss themselves within a year period, or depends on the situation, but you need to step back and not be doing direct service volunteer activity with another client, for example, if you've had a death in your own life recently.
That seems very reasonable.
Very reasonable, yeah.
And is that all of that sort of handling emotions, is that part of training if somebody's a...
That's what we try and train, yeah. We also do a lot of training on cultural awareness because a big part of supporting people is understanding where their culture is in terms of their preferences for end of life. Things that you might not think about from different cultures that are very significant to people. They can be kind of railroaded if they're in a medical setting or if they're in a home situation that others are not familiar with what their background is.
So being very respectful of that is key.
Right.
Okay. How did you get started in this kind of work?
Well, at the time, in 2000, I was working for AICS as a social worker, and I was working with a lot of the elderly in the community in home care kinds of arrangements. So it was a natural fit for me to kind of be involved in helping set up the first group. And I was just going to help set it up and then back off. Well, Harriet Sherman kind of kept me involved, and so here I am.
Well, we're glad that you are. It takes good, dedicated people to have good programs in our community.
Yeah.
So
I have to say, some of the other things that we do through hospice, through Harriet's Helpers in town, let's see, in 2003, we held the first Dove Tree Ceremony. And that's an annual event that's held every year, the end of November, first part of December. It's kind of a time for recognizing that the holidays are often a very, very difficult time emotionally for people who have lost loved ones. And so we have a ceremony and the dove tree with paper doves on it. Each dove has the name of a loved one. And having the ceremony, the time to kind of reflect on that and kind of incorporate those feelings of grief into the holiday season. That's been a very effective thing that we've done every year since 2003.
Yeah. The Dove Tree Ceremony is special to a lot of folks. And we touched on the loan closet. Are there other sort of outreach?
Well, yeah. The Christmas Tree Lane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Christmas Tree Lane is our only fundraiser. We don't really solicit any. People sometimes will make donations to Hospice of Wrangell, to Harriet's Helpers. But in 2005, Jackie Dozier, a wonderful Jackie Dozier here in town, came up with the idea of a Christmas Tree Lane at the Nolan Center. The Nolan Center was pretty new at that time, and so we ended up with a beautifully decorated Nolan Center lobby with Christmas tree decorated by different groups in town, and then they are put out for bids, silent auction bids, so that people can bid on a decorated tree and take it home in time for Christmas. That's been a very beautiful way to celebrate the season and also raise the money for hospice.
Mm-hmm. And that's your only fundraiser for
that's the
for
only
the
fundraiser,
year.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The other thing that we've done is we put out two books that we have, two publications. One is the Wrangell Senior Resource Directory, and we've had that around for about 12 years or so. A new edition every 2 or 3 years, updating. And it's gotten very good comment from people in other parts of the state that really like it. And now we've gotten to the point where we put it online. It's linked with the city website and the hospital website, and hardcover copies are available at the hospital lobby.
Well, that's very handy. So if I'm a person in Wrangell and need to know any kind of senior resources, that's right. Where I'm going to find it. So linked through the hospital and the city, Wrangell.com website.
Right. And they're also available at the Wrangell Senior Center.
At the Senior Center. Okay.
Our other publication is called Final Arrangement and End of Life Information. We do not have a resident mortician. We have mortuary services basically through a representative, but it's not like we have a mortuary in town. And we found that sometimes if there was a death, say at the hospital, people really didn't know where to go to get information about what to do. So we put together a publication and have expanded that to now include a lot of information about end of life and what family members can do to keep somebody comfortable, what to watch for, what to do to support somebody at that very end stages.
What to watch for? When would a family member, what would trigger that for somebody? What would a family member observe and then say, maybe I need to contact these folks for help? What would some of those situations or signs, end of life signs, be?
Well, okay, the end of life signs, we're talking about the last 48 hours or so. Oh,
okay, so yeah,
those kinds of things. But oftentimes hospice, and it's unfortunate, but hospice is not called in until the last week or so of someone's life, which is unfortunate because we have the ability, what we call bridging services. If somebody is very frail, we will get involved for several years, you know, just visiting maybe once a week or so, just to kind of pop in and have a relationship with someone and the caregiver, and can carry on for a period of time that way because someone's frail. And sometimes with a family caregiver, maybe there's just one caregiver taking care of someone, and just having that person that can come in periodically and give a break.
Well, is there a time limit? How long can someone be in hospice care?
Well, for medical hospice through Medicare, normally the referral is made if the doctor feels that someone has 6 months or less of life. They may live for another 2 or 3 years, but if it looks like it's going to be 6 months or less, then there can be medical referral for hospice care. For our program, it's just a matter of a self-assessment that, you know, they're frail.
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty...
pretty open-ended.
Pretty flexible,
yeah,
and open-ended. Yeah. That's right. How many people in Wrangell are served by hospice, say, in an average year?
It varies. Mm-hmm. It varies. Wrangell is a wonderful community. We have a lot of people who have extended family. And oftentimes when there's a lot of extended family, they feel, thank you very much, but we're doing okay on our own. But we have other situations where somebody did not have that extended family and there's a real need, and we go in daily if we need to, you know, just to help out. So in a given year, we may help maybe 10 people.
Okay. That's a very heartfelt and important service that we have here in Wrangell that, you know, maybe not a lot of folks are even aware.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my last question, I already asked you, if a family in Wrangell feels they need hospice care for a loved one, how do they go about starting that process? You did touch on that a little bit. And I guess I just want to kind of back off from that and just thinking about, you know, my own self and those of us who aren't close to that, we hope, but thinking that, you know, when you are in that situation, to have that directive already in place, and who did you say Mary Campbell is the person to contact about that? Or
Mary can help people with the advanced directive. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to help people also. I have helped people who are not connected with the hospital to do that, just because it's not that. I'm familiar with the forms, and I'm a retired social worker, so. But we're starting now to use a form called Five Wishes, which is new to me, and I really like it. It's much more easier, user-friendly, but more comprehensive than the old legal advanced directive forms. And then you keep a copy at the hospital. You can send a copy to the people you are designated as your surrogate care decision makers, and you're up and running.
Okay, so you have that in place. Alice, is there anything, what did we miss? What would you like people in Wrangell to know about?
Well, I think I'm glad that we talked about the loan closet, because some people don't realize that if they know there's a loan closet, they don't really associate it with Hospice of Wrangell. But yes, it's iBaby, and we have equipment stored in three different locations around town. We'd love to have all one big location, but we've been able to, thanks to AICS and the Presbyterian Church, find places to store our stuff. We have hospital beds too, and that's really important.
That's pretty handy.
We have our different booklets that are available. And just to say that, you know, I know in my own experience when I needed hospice support for a family member, it was wonderful because I was assigned two different volunteers. And what I would do is once a week I sort of know my schedule and I say, boy, it would be so wonderful if someone could come and sit with my loved one for an hour while I go to church. Or an hour while I run do such and such with an unusual thing. And someone would come and just be there. And that would just such a help.
Right. So it gives the main caregiver
right,
a break.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which can be so important.
And one night I even got a whole night of sleep. That was an uninterrupted night of sleep, which was very important sometimes for people who are doing caregiving.
Yes. Yeah, you can get burned out.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, Alice, unless there's anything else, I want to thank you very much for stopping in today and joining us for Talk on the Rock.
Right. And I think that, thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is such an important, very heartfelt and critical piece of Wrangell. We have a lot of great organizations in Wrangell doing good work, and this is definitely one of them. So thank you for volunteering for hospice.
And if anyone wants to volunteer to make contact, just to contact me directly or to go through the front desk of a hospital and say, hey, I'd like to help out or I'd like to find out more, we're always open to talking to people.
Okay, very good. It's now about 21 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. You're listening to KSTK Wrangell. I'll have a little music going for you, and then we have the World Cafe coming up from 2 to 4. Stay with us.